from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown up.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakatic with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
Why?
You're gonna need that microphone on.
Hey, I've shown your mic, dude.
Oh, for Pete's sakes. I did hit it.
I was hitting the fart drop button.
We're
doing great.
Did the fart drop cancel out my mic?
Great start.
That has to be it.
Did you not see me reach for the button, or can I not find the button?
You just missed it. But over here, we're having some fart drop problems.
I went left.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we're on. We're hot. We're on. We're hot. We're on.
Are there problems?
Should I go right? Should I go left? Damn it. How do I get in that little girl's
check
toilet?
My
wide orbit wasn't working, and now it is. And I'm happy about that.
Excellent.
Because I want to be able to play cool things.
Wide orbit?
Wide.
Yeah, I thought you said white.
Yeah, what?
Nah, it's not the white orbit. What? It's the wide. The wide orbit.
Yeah, wide orbit.
Although maybe for us, it should be the what? The what orbit.
What? Yeah, it's a little delayed over here. Mm. I got a little...
Your drops are delayed.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm going to restart, bro.
You know what? That is the solution about 98% of the time.
Turn it off. Turn it back on.
Let's do that.
Unplugging it and plugging it back in?
Nothing.
Every helpline I've ever called.
There is nothing that frustrates me more in this world than when you've tried for like an hour to fix something and then the IT guy gives you the dumbest thing, like unplug it or
hit reset. Yeah.
One key and it works. And then he has that smug, like, and I just want to hit him in the face with a tire iron. And yet you're happy because it works. But it just, like, I'm like, yes, I've turned it off and on. He's like, did you?
Well, it makes you feel like a dumbass.
It does. It's very
frustrating. You are a dumbass.
That's also true.
That's true.
I am the IT guy for my wife.
Really?
And that is oftentimes how I solve problems, and she thinks I'm a hero. I'm like, well, let's restart it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I get angry because my son is a computer science major, and so in my opinion, the amount of money that I'm shelling out for what I used to call him Rat Boy. He's now morphed into Computer Boy.
Still delayed.
And I tell Computer Boy all the time. Like, right now I'm having a printing problem. Whenever I print something, there's one like weird line through it, right? It's like it's printing fine, and then for no reason, weird like blank line. And in my opinion, if I'm shelling out the amount of money that I'm shelling out for Computer Boy to be educated in the field of computers, he should be able to fix every computer problem that I have. And so far, you know who hasn't fixed my printer problem? Computer Boy. And I'm not happy about it.
Can I say something about the printer?
Yeah, go for it.
May I do that?
Please.
Live on the radio?
You take the ball. Go.
The printer game has not really evolved far enough for my liking.
No?
No.
Considering the advancements we've made in other areas of similar technology, it should be way better than it is.
Think about how far technology has come and how exponential we've grown.
I think there's like laser printers and stuff, but they're really expensive.
Well, there you go. Yeah. This is not, like, there should be, it still does the and you got to replace the stupid cartridges. Get out of here.
It feels like it should have evolved the way the television has evolved. We went from the TV, the tube, to the flat screen and the LCD and the high def, and it's really cheap to get a new TV that's really good, and you would think you would have a similar situation here, but no.
And let me ask you this with printers.
And we asked the question, why?
Do they ever work? I feel like...
I know, they don't.
I feel like the printer is
it's
the
50-50.
Most... Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Anytime I go to print something,
it just it doesn't seem to ever work right, and it seems old and clunky and loud and stupid.
Yes.
And I don't understand why, because everything else has evolved so greatly.
And there's a printer jam, but there's not a printer jam, and then I need to clean the nozzle. I just cleaned the nozzle. I replaced it. Like, it tries to troubleshoot itself, and yet it never works.
Can I add a little something to this conversation? May I do that here?
Please.
Those cartridges... Somebody somewhere is making $1 billion off of those because they get like 10 prints and you have to buy a new one for $60.
And I'd also like to point this out.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because Big Printer is in bed with Big Ink. Why do I need magenta? That's the other one. It's constantly, when do I use magenta?
Well, you and want yet, color. You and, want just the full color one.
But it's always...
But the magenta mixes with the others to make the colors that you need.
And that's what it is.
But then why is the magenta always... It always runs out first, and it pisses me off. I hate the whole thing, and it bothers me that I'm spending $100,000 on my stupid kid to figure out computers, and yet he can't fix my printer. You know what he told me the other day? Why don't you just buy a new one? No! No! That's what you're here for. The whole point of having children is so that they can go on and do things that you can't and take care of you when you're old.
No.
It's time to pony up, son.
Strong. No.
It's been 22 years. I'm waiting for a return on my investment. Fix my printer. And that was my edict when I left the house today. I gave him one of these. Yeah, when I come home, like the Foo Fighters are coming up next week. He wants to go to the Foo Fighters with me. Well, you know what? Fix the printer. This isn't going to become a transactional sort of relationship. No printer, no concert.
I also think that you probably would buy a new printer if you knew that the technology was so much better.
Exactly. I'm going to buy the same printer in 2 months from now.
Exactly.
I'm back here being like, it doesn't work.
Yeah, if you knew you could pay a little extra money and get and just have all these problems solved and it's great new technology and it works great every time, you would probably take the plunge.
Yeah, someone's saying, totally dating yourselves, complaining about printers in a digital world. Yes, most of the time you don't need it, but when you do need a printer, it never works.
Yeah, it should still be easier, cheaper, and less problematic to print something.
That's Do you think that printers are the way of, let me ask it this way. Where are printers in terms of irrelevance? Because I don't think they're quite as irrelevant as this man is saying. Mm-hmm. I don't, because I find myself needing to sign things, and you can't, some places won't even let you sign digitally, and they'll say, hey, print it out, sign it, send it back, and you can do that on the tiny scan dot or the app, things like that, but you still have to print them in order to sign them.
I do find myself having to print on a somewhat regular basis. Absolutely.
And mine's not regular, but it's, you know,
it's enough.
A couple times a...
This guy says right here, Vancouver Ford text line. I work at Nike, and our printers are 50-50, and I swear I never know what paper tray I'm supposed to choose. That's Nike. That's a multi-billion-dollar company, and their printers are 50-50.
They have printers like we do, main printers, and they have like 18 paper trays.
I don't know.
And you never know which one's which
and
what's jammed, and it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard out here.
Well, now I'm getting trolled saying that
it's
complaining
hard,
about printers is like an old person writing checks at the grocery store. I don't think it is.
I don't agree.
And you know what? But here's the thing. Like, you know how I found out about the printer problem? My kid, who again, 22, so it's not an old man thing, he came to me and was like, hey, Dad, the printer's not working. And I was like, what? And I said, I just changed the ink. And that's when he was the one that showed me the weird little line it's making. So it wasn't even me that needed the printer. It was him. So it's not just an old man thing, because that's a 22-year-old college kid. And here's the thing. He had to fill out some school stuff and he had to have it printed.
So anybody who is getting on us for complaining is deflecting from the problem here.
Yes.
I believe we have a quality and poignant observation about printer technology.
That it still sucks.
And you can't just you can't just sweep that under the rug by saying, oh, well, just don't complain about it.
Yeah.
That's not a good answer.
No, it's not.
We want an answer.
Yeah. The printer is still a valuable tool in your belt, in the tool chest, and it never works. It's the most unreliable hunk of crap. If your phone or your computer or anything else, if your PlayStation worked the same amount at the same frequency of rate as your printer, you would be livid. But we accept it from the printer. We've allowed big printer to slide for far too long.
I think that's right.
It's ridiculous. I think mine's a Canon. And let me tell you something.
Mine's
Canon,
an Epson.
Your stuff sucks.
All right, get your faxes in here on the Pacific Office Automation fax line.
And by the way,
you can reach us at 503-313-2510.
I don't think that's remote.
Does that add up?
I don't think that's remotely correct.
Yeah, that's the fax line. Pacific Office Automation fax line. Get your faxes in. We'll print them out. Read them on the air.
This guy says, I own two printers and do 100% of my printing at work. There you go.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. They print at work.
Print at work.
Because they just don't want to have one at home. They don't need it.
And my printer has Bluetooth. Yeah, guess who has a hard line to my computer? Because the Bluetooth never works either.
Well, I was going to say, if you needed something printed at work, could you do it? Because
no,
I couldn't.
I don't have the ability to print.
We have a couple printers here, but
I don't know how to do it.
I don't know how to send the document to it,
because we don't have we don't have station computers anymore. I don't know how that works either.
Couldn't should they just put us down, you think?
Probably at some point just put a bullet in the back of my head, old Yeller style. It's like I got
mean, they put horses down.
That's true. But not because they're old, because they're lame. I still get up and move around.
Well, you're lame. We're lame, apparently.
Well, I limp a lot.
Complaining about printers.
Well, that's why I have a hard time when people are like, oh, my dog, you know, he's got arthritis and he struggles to get around. Yeah, so do I. But I'm not looking for anyone to kill me. I can still get around. Yeah, my knees aren't the best. And like I sometimes walk with most of the time, I walk with like a little wobble. I don't want anyone to put a bullet in the back of my head. Anyone trying to put me down. So your dog struggles to move around a little bit. That's fine. Hey, we're just a little hasty on that. Walking a little slow, aren't we? Let him be.
All right. Well, it's nice to have you along today. Thank you. My name is Isaac, and that is Jason.
Right.
Hello.
Just don't ask us to print anything.
We are here for you today. You know who is not here for you today? Joey Harrington.
No.
He is ducking us today. He is off.
He's probably in protest because you were gone and he was all bitter about it. So this may be a...
He's trying to one-up me.
Yeah.
We got a one-up game going.
He's spending quality, quote, family time.
Well, look, we need him by about September 1.
There you go.
And that's it.
Yeah. Come back around. He's got time.
Football season is upon us.
Yeah. We don't need him to break down this women's wrestling match.
Yeah, I'm going to change it.
No, I like me some wrestling.
Yeah, well, I'm changing it.
I tried watching breakdancing today. You want to talk about the dumbest thing I've ever seen in the history of sports.
Yeah, I don't understand why we would lose baseball from the Olympics, but we'd add that.
By the way, can I just say that the Australians should never be allowed to compete in breakdancing again? They had the whitest gal in the worst tracksuit ever wearing like a baseball cap. And did you know of what I speak? Did you see this?
I didn't see that outfit. Do these B-boys and B-girls, do they pick their own wardrobes?
You're
or
talking
is it
about,
their country?
He's talking about B-girl Reagan. You don't know B-girl Reagan?
I do not know B-girl Reagan.
Well, Google it.
It is.
It's going viral.
I don't even know what that was. I don't know if she was breakdancing or just having like a grand mal seizure. There was a real issue there. And that's Olympic breakdancing? Now, don't get me wrong. I am no breakdancing expert. As someone my age and who's very white will tell you, but you know what I have seen about 30 times, breaking and breaking to Electric Boogaloo from like 1983. And let me tell you, that was no Turbo, Ozone, or Special K out there today. They should be embarrassed at what they were doing.
Oh yeah, this one went very viral. People were making jokes like me trying to get comfortable in bed as she flops around on the ground. I don't know.
I would also like to ask this. How was their breakdancing? I didn't see one black person the entire breakdancing competition. Didn't they invent the sport? I don't think it was a sport.
Black, please. Thank you.
Where was that?
I believe there's a better drop for that, Buckley.
Is there?
Yes.
What is it?
Could you mix in a black?
There we go.
Yeah. What are we doing? There's not one anywhere? It's breakdancing, for God's sakes. What are we doing? It's like if we just rolled out our basketball team and we're like, by the way.
What would you say you do here?
We got 13 white dudes rolling out there to play basketball. Someone would be like, I see something weird here. That breakdancing thing was an abomination. That was the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm looking right at you, Australia. It's embarrassing.
All right, we start this hour with the poll. We're going to get a lot of poll in, and then we're going to do some NFL Nutella, and then we've got some audio. We're trying to interpret Jerry Jones again today.
That guy.
And Prime being a little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up on The Fan.
I ran through that bull junk you wrote.
Before we poll today, I must disseminate some sad sports news, and this will upset you, Jason, because the great motivational speaker Pat Williams has passed away.
I thought he passed away a while back.
At the age of 84.
I'm fairly certain he died like a while ago.
Should I know who Pat Williams is?
No, he used to come on the show.
Well,
he was an.
You may be right, but I saw it today. So does that count?
Yeah, he died July 17th.
Ah, damn it.
I'm pretty sure that's.
Is he still dead?
I think that's the same Pat Williams.
Did he die again?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Now you're going to make me double check. But yeah, he was a...
The basketball guy.
The basketball guy.
He tried to motivate
you. He was an exec with the Orlando Magic. And I don't remember why, but he came on the program a couple times.
Well, why is because he is one of the few guys... In this, when you do this job,
yeah,
you will come across a handful of sports sort of powers that be,
mm-hmm,
who never met a radio show they didn't like.
Yeah.
And they were always promoting something. Like, Gil Brandt is one of those guys.
Gil Brandt's one of those guys, yes.
Pat Williams was another. He wrote, like, 8 million books.
Yeah.
He was the head of the Sixers. Then he drafts Shaq and sort of helped Orlando. Create the Orlando Magic. But he was always promoting something, and mm-hmm, he was always doing radio hits. So we'd have him on. And he was an interesting guy. Had an interesting life.
Yeah.
And he once tried to motivate Jason Sukanik live on the air.
Yeah, good luck.
And it did not work.
No, because I'm impervious to motivational speeches because I'm just that cynical. But yeah, dude, that guy died in July.
Yeah, my bad there.
Like, when you said Pat Williams died, immediately I went to, God, is there another Pat Williams that I missed something?
I'm here to report that Pat Williams is still dead.
Yes, still dead.
That is what I meant.
Okay. Where did you see that today?
Like, I don't know. It was on, I don't know. Somewhere in my award-winning show prep.
Did you think that he, like, recently died? Or
yeah, I just saw it today. I'm like, oh, my God.
Now he's been dead for a bit.
Was I out July 17th?
Probably.
Let me see. Let me go back in my
game. There's a good chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was out.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the day we were playing in the Mo Lucas Golf Tournament. So, of course, I missed it.
And yet I still... You know, look, this is what I do as noted news contributor. I have to know these sorts of things.
Well, there's a lot of news for me to keep up.
There is a lot
of
news.
Okay. I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah.
Rest in peace still, Pat Williams.
No. And someone asking, does the 1-inch speech from any given Sunday motivate me? God, no. That's the dumbest thing of all time.
No, it's not. That's a great speech.
How about the Herb Brooks, not tonight? They'd beat you any other night, but not tonight.
That one's all right.
Yeah.
All right. I like the Any Given Sunday speech.
I don't.
You claw with your fingernails.
Hoo-ah! Hey! Everybody! Al Pacino! Ah! Like, if I was in a locker room and that guy was giving me that speech, I would be trying not to laugh.
The 6 inches right in front of your
face!
Right
in front of me! Inch by inch, everybody! We hold on to that root! The only two speeches that I've ever had any respect for, the Herb Brooks and... The coach from Johnny B. Goode who wants to get a mean on, son, that guy, Coach Hissler. I'll listen to that. You want to be a loser, you go to Russia. I'm a winner. I'm an American.
Hey, this just in, we've landed on the moon.
All right. By the way, that is one of the great bits in movie history.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
He's walking up. He sees the...
We landed on the moon.
All right. Although, to be fair, like, he died in July. That's not that long ago.
Thanks for making me feel better. I just saw it today.
I saw it today.
Sorry, Mrs. Williams, if you're still around.
Yeah, somewhere Mrs. Williams listening is like, what?
He was great, though. He was always a good hang.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. Braveheart. Yeah, it's a good speech. The Braveheart one's pretty good.
Hmm.
I like that. I just find them better when they're not in sports. Like, you give me a good war speech, like the Patton speech, even though that's very low key, that's a pretty good one. That's pretty solid. Yeah, there's some good. I prefer a war speech to a sports speech.
I also like a good legal argument, a good closing statement from an attorney. Like,
you can't handle the
something
truth.
Like that. A good cross examination, if you will. Yeah,
yeah. What was the like? If we're gonna do Al Pacino, which, God, the overacting on that, but.
Look at you taking shots at the great.
No, Al Pacino's great. And it's legendary. Just, Al there's Pacino. A lot of Al Pacino. He's got a great big ass.
That's his whole bit, though. That's great. That's what makes him great.
I would rather have the scent of a woman Al Pacino speech than the, you know, where he's taken to task the like the prep school. Like that's a pretty good one. I don't mind that one, but. I'm trying to remember the movie, the Kenneth Branagh movie. Gosh, there is a phenomenal Kenneth Branagh movie. It's from the BBC. It's called 10 Days to War. Buck, do me a favor, will you? Do me a favor. See if you can look up. And I guess it's a true speech. I guess this is a real colonel that gave this speech. Look up Colonel Tim Collins. Inspirational speech, Kenneth Branagh. I know there shouldn't be anything that needs to be bleeped. God, fingers crossed. It is one of the great speeches of all time, and it actually went down.
What?
And so when I hear stuff like that, the fact that someone, and they're getting ready to invade Iraq, like they're going in and, you know, some people may not be coming back. That's the sort of thing that you can motivate me. But when you're like, when you're Tony Robbins, and you're trying to motivate me to like, start a vending machine business and you're using war cliches or Al Pacino, like, inch by inch, I don't know if I ever in all my years, maybe I said the wrong coaches. I never once in all my years of playing had a speech that I considered to be motivational.
Look what I found.
What?
It's the guy who's yes. willing to die.
Yes.
Who's going to win that itch.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I know if I'm going to have any life anymore. It's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch.
Hell yeah.
Because that's what living is.
Yes!
The 6 inches in front of your face. Now I can't make you do it. You gotta look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now I think you're gonna see a guy who will go that inch with you.
Hell yeah.
You're gonna see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team.
I'm going to cut this off because I don't know if it's bleeped, and there's definitely an F-bomb coming. So.
Hey. I'm telling you, you listen to that.
No, you weren't here for F-bomb gate.
Listen to that, and then listen to the Tim Collins, the Kenneth Branagh speech, and tell me that when you listen to those two, that the Al Pacino speech doesn't immediately become stupid and beyond irrelevant.
That's a great speech.
6 inches!
You can bite my crank.
She's got a great big ass!
Here's our poll question. It is on X at 1080 The Fan. Today, well, actually, we'll get to yesterday's. I like to do that first. Yeah. Here is a recap. What is most important at these Olympics? Medal count domination winning that.
You're damn right.
45%. Yeah. College football start yet? That's 30%. USA men's and women's basketball gold, 17%. USA women's soccer gold, 8%. No one cares.
No, unfortunately not.
Only a quarter of the people care about that.
And that's weird because they were such a big deal for a while. The women were like, that was the women's sport.
I know.
And now we've kind of,
They've kind of had a changing of the guard, though. Like, star-wise, there's been a lot of turnover. And in the Olympics, I think you're only allowed 3 players that are over the age of 23. So that eliminates a lot of the names that you may be familiar with.
Well, and starting to kind of, you know, put them in the Team USA basketball category of, well, they probably should win.
Yeah, but
we expect them to win.
Unfortunately, I think we're getting in this with the basketball too, is like when they lost the last World Cup, like there were people that thought it was great. Like, have you seen, like, there's a ton of people now that are rooting against our basketball team. This is how stupid and ass backwards we are.
Yeah, Kevin Durant got really upset about it.
Oh, dude, Kevin Durant was great. I loved that he was online like 5 a.m. taking shots at people.
That's what he does.
Dude, seriously.
Wait, didn't we just kill that guy for that same thing?
Yeah, a couple years back.
And now
wait a minute. This isn't through a burner.
What?
Yeah, he's not on a burner.
He's just taking shots at people commenting.
So people, there's this whole big trove of people now, apparently from the United States, that are actively rooting against the United States now. Like, and someone was talking, some I don't know, some sports host or whatever. He had like 50,000 followers or whatever. And he was talking about how proud he was of Serbia and basically saying that, you know, the U.S. should be ashamed of themselves. And he was rooting for Serbia and how great it was for that country. And Kevin Durant was like, what country are you from? Like, he was just clapping back. Like, we all sit here and constantly talk about how great our country is and we love the United States, but we don't root for it. Like, we only go if it's in our own little world bubble. Like, oh, well, I love the United States, but only when it comes time to sell flags and bumper stickers and
wear sleeveless
t-shirts. It's freaking embarrassing. We did this with the women because, you know, the Megan Rapinoe and some of them didn't have the political views that people like. So it was like, screw those bitches. I hope they lose. And now for some unknown reason, we hate men's basketball. Like, well, we're openly rooting. Like, who is it? Barstool Boy went on a big 8-minute rant today.
Portnoy went and said he's now actively rooting for France in the gold medal game because he's tired of the way Steve Kerr's treating Jason Tatum.
Okay.
So Kevin Durant had this to say. This was one of his tweets. To all you Nuggets fans out there, nobody gives an F what y'all lames believe is the best player in the league. Players got major respect for Jokic. We don't worship him like y'all, but most are in awe of his brilliance. Trolling you cornballs for rooting against us is all part of the game.
Cornballs. Now, so we used to hate Kevin Durant for this. Now we like him for this.
I will,
because it's USA.
I will admit something. I've been caught up in Olympic fever, as it happens from time to time, and World Cup fever. I get a little patriotic pride, which sometimes leads to foolish purchases, like my Megan Rapinoe medium jersey, which I still have. Not allowed to send that one back. Last night,
Megan Rapinoe,
as I was perusing. Known cheese butt Kevin Durant, I did order a Kevin Durant top. I ordered a Kevin Durant, like, I get, he's got his own line of Nike stuff. And I ordered a Kevin Durant workout shirt because I was like, you know what, KD, you won me over with this one,
because
buddy.
Of the tweeting, not the big shot that he hit?
Both, because I was all caught up in the shot. I loved when KD waved everyone off and was like, no. Like, I got this. And then he goes online and starts trolling these fake American fans. Yeah, last night I was cruising around. I said, you know what? I'm going to take a look at KD stuff. Bought myself a KD tank top. Bought myself a KD workout shirt.
This is another one of those things where do people really think that? Or are these just dummies on Twitter that are trying to get follows?
If there are, there's a lot of them.
They're trying to get follows and likes. And
I think there's a lot of them that generally root against. If it's not your kind of American, if they don't fit in your exact model, then screw them, I'm rooting for the other guy.
Well, for you,
that's embarrassing.
You know there are black guys on the team, right?
Yeah.
Not
on the breakdancing team.
That is not your kind of American.
Why add this with Noah Lyles? Like, I find Noah Lyles to be a bit much.
I just have always preferred the whites.
But, dude, when that guy's running for my country, yeah, he may not exactly be my cup of tea, but that's my guy out there. I'm not rooting against him. Let's go, USA, baby.
I wish I could have more white things.
Well, like my breakdancing team.
The color white to me just always works.
All right, today's poll question.
There's right here. Oh, Vancouver, okay. Fort Texas.
All right, what do we got?
Much of my office was rooting for Serbia yesterday. Not a lot of love for LeBron and Kerr.
Really?
So that's my... So you,
how do you root for Serbia?
That's what I'm saying. And that was what Kevin Durant's whole point is. So you don't like LeBron James for whatever reason. So you're just now like... Well, screw America. He's not representing me. So you're a fan of Serbia now? Like, randomly, you're just like, go Serbia? Oh, that just... And it's one thing. Like, I appreciated when the St. Lucia gal won the 100 meters. I was bummed because my gal, Sha'Carri Richardson, which, by the way, did you see her today?
I did.
Yeah. I'm back. That was impressive.
She was awesome.
I'm back in love with her. She was all glistening in the rain. Like her.
Would you like to describe that further?
I'm not sure that I can. It would get a little awkward and uncomfortable. But boy, this the sinewy, lean muscle in the rain with the sweat and the stare.
The stare was great.
As Dave Bartu.
God.
I'm like, who are you mad at, by the way? She just like won this thing and she looked like she was pissed off.
Well, wasn't she just looking to see where the other runner was?
Yeah.
No. I was talking about like after the race and she's like looking up in the stands like angrily.
I thought she was looking for her family. Maybe she couldn't find them or something.
I think she was looking for me.
Maybe that's it.
She was disappointed that I wasn't there.
Longingly looking for Big Sook.
Sorry, baby. I'll be there next time. I should have been there for the 100 meters. Like, I was bummed that she lost, but I could appreciate that the gal from St. Lucia, the Julian something or other, was their first medal in a little tiny island country. I can appreciate it, but I'm not rooting against my country. I'm not rooting against my, you know, my future, whatever, you know, my future boo.
Space Force.
Not sure how she feels about the commitment thing, but we're working towards something. And it just, it bugs me how fair weather we are in this, again, it doesn't exactly fit into what I think. Therefore, screw you. I'm just going to be a fan of Serbia. Get out of here.
So today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan, which of these pro athletes have the strangest career arc? Now, if you're listening to our program yesterday, you knew this was going to be the question. It has been up there a while, and I'll give you the instant poll results here. See, because we're in the digital age. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can just click on.
Yeah, I don't have to print it out.
Print it and run over to the other room and get
it. Hold it up for you.
For next segment. Which pro athlete had the strangest career arc? Right now, Kurt Warner with 34% of the vote.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lin, 28% of the vote. Nick Foles, 22%. And Josh Hamilton, 16%. Yeah. Vote hard.
Yeah, old Lin Sanity. I forget about old Jeremy Lin for a while.
That was a wild career.
That was. For a brief, for a brief moment, dude, that guy was a streaking meteor.
It's hard to beat old Kurt Warner from bagging groceries to MVP.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to our NFL Nutella Nuggies. It's 3:34. Here's Buck.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, now to the NFL. Got a lot of NFL to sort through here. I saw a list, okay?
Big list.
And boy, it scared me. I was frightened.
Okay.
It was the NFL passer rating career leaders list. Don't pull it up, please, because I'm going to test you.
Give a quiz?
Well, I don't have a quiz per se, but I do want to see if you can guess this guy.
Okay.
I don't know what to make a passer rating, man, but I saw the list.
It gives you an idea. I mean, it's a metric. It's like anything else, WAR in baseball. I don't know if it means you're the best, but if you have a good one, chances are you didn't suck.
Well, I think that's a good way to say it, because I think it used to be, well, I don't know what it used to be. I think now you can be okay and have a really, really good passer rating. I give you Geno Smith.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you don't make a lot of mistakes.
Exactly.
And you throw a high completion percentage.
And you dink and dunk a little bit. I'm not saying this is Geno Smith. I'm just saying you can dink your dunk.
You can dink or dunk?
You can dink your dunk. Wow. Would you want to dink my dunk?
I do.
Yeah, you do.
I do knew that.
You can dink and dunk your way to a hell of a passer rating.
Sure.
You can.
Like, I think the all-time career, and I don't know where he's at on this list as far as ratings, but if I'm not mistaken, maybe someone's clipped him in the last couple of years, but for a while, Chad Pennington was the all-time completion percentage leader in the NFL. Yeah, that Chad Pennington.
Yeah, high completion percentage.
Yeah.
He is 30th in passer rating.
In passer rating?
Yeah. All time.
What's his completion percentage? Does it have it on there?
No, but I can.
Oh. Well, I wanted to know if he was still number one.
Completion percentage, career 66%.
Oh, okay.
And 1 year, his best year, 68.9%.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was looking at this list here. Aaron Rodgers is number one, by the way.
Is he really?
Yeah, 103.
Highest passer rating of all time, huh?
Yes. Career 103.6. Patrick Mahomes is number two at 103.5. Number 10 on the list stunned me.
Okay.
It floored me. I'm still floored.
It's still floored.
Pull me up. Help me up.
Okay.
Can you guess?
Oh, God. I mean.
Well, I know. I'm going to give you a list of. Just hold on.
It's a giant pool to choose.
God.
Danny White.
I have seven guys here.
Steve DeBerg.
Can you guess which one is number 10 on the all-time career passer rating list?
Well, this is going to be cheating a little bit because I'm just going to take the one that's the most like, what the hell? Like, you know, it's Quincy, you know, who is that?
Carter.
Quincy Carter. I was trying to think
of like,
I was trying to think of the most random like cowboy quarterback that I could think of.
Just kidding.
Quincy Carter.
Okay, which of these quarterbacks is in the top 10 all-time in career passer rating? Is it Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Tony Romo, Tua Tagovailoa?
See, none of those would surprise
Jimmy Garoppolo, Philip Rivers, or Peyton Manning.
The only two on there, the fact that you, this would have been a harder question had you not been stunned. The only two,
I shouldn't have told you that.
Yeah, the only two that are going to be bewildering would be Tony Romo and Jimmy Garoppolo. And of those two.
See, I thought you were going to say Tua.
No.
And
no, Tua has good. Tua has good. When Tua's healthy, Tua puts up big numbers.
Well, Tua and Romo, I will tell you, they have the exact same passer rating.
Okay, so the only two that I would have been like, would have been Romo and Garoppolo. And the fact that you just said Romo has the same as Tua, then the correct answer
is
Jimmy Garoppolo.
That is correct.
Now, I will tell you this.
Jimmy G.
Had we stood up here.
Top 10.
Or sat here.
Feels great, baby.
And said that I had to guess the number 10, we would have been here till next, like, next Friday before I ever got to Jimmy Garoppolo.
So Rodgers, Mahomes, 1-2.
Okay. No shocker.
Number 3 is Deshaun Watson.
That's surprising because he sucks right now. But we've said this multiple times. When he was in Houston, dude, that guy was like a top 3-4 quarterback in the league. He just, I don't know what happened to him.
Number 4, Russell Wilson at 100.
Probably a surprise, but you know, we know Russ has been good. He won a Super Bowl, been to another one. So a little surprising, but I wouldn't say shocking.
And number 5 is Dak Prescott.
That's another one. We talk about this all the time. No one gives Dak any credit. We went over this. Like, Dak, if you look at, like, I think it was the 6 big quarterback metrics last year, Dak was number 1 in 4 of them, and I think he was, like, 3rd and 6th in the other two. And yet, we still look at Dak as some sort of bum. And it's not a 1 year. Dak puts up great numbers.
There are 4 more in the top 10, 6, 7, 8, and 9. You want to take a stab at them? At any of these guys?
Are they modern or are they?
3 guys are playing. 1 guy is retired, but retired recently.
3 guys playing, 1 retired. Okay.
So they're all, I mean, 9 of the 10 are current quarterbacks.
Then Manning retired.
Yeah, he's out.
He's
not
out.
Him.
So it's not Manning.
No.
It's not Brady.
Manning's 15th.
Manning, Brady.
Brady's 11th.
Okay, who else recently retired?
By the way, Romo and Tua tied for 12th.
So if it's not Manning, it's not Brady, it'll be Breeze.
Drew Breeze, number 6.
There you go. So Breeze, better rating than both those two, huh?
Yes.
I think I would have had that maybe flipped a little bit.
Drew Brees, better quarterback rating ever, or all career, than Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Philip Rivers, Kurt Warner, and Ben Roethlisberger, and Joe Montana.
Yeah, it's
about,
I mean,
that.
Dude, Drew Brees is great. I mean, flat out great. So not a surprise. So everyone else is still playing.
Yep, they all play.
Who else? Burrow probably will be there.
He's number 7.
Is Herbert there?
No, Herbert is 16th.
Okay, 16th. No Herbert. Who else there? Oh, probably Lamar.
Number 9.
Okay, 2 MVPs. Lamar.
So you got 1 left, and he is a little bit of a surprise. I'll give you that. A little bit of a surprise, but he's made a lot of money.
Wouldn't be like Kyler Murray, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
Who's made a bunch of money? We already, Jimmy's 10, so it's not Jimmy because he made.
You like that? You like that?
Oh, Kirkers.
Kirk is number
8.
Boy,
that's another one. We could have been here a long time, and I wasn't coming up with Kirk.
So I just want to point out that Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo are in the top 10 all time in career passer rating. What does that tell you about passer rating?
Feels great, baby.
maybe it's not the greatest indicator of all time.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Because, like, and this goes to, you know, like the Brett Favre thing. Like, Brett Favre took a lot of chances. And Brett Favre probably threw a lot of picks, didn't have the greatest completion percentage. But the idea that any of those quarterbacks, with the exception of, you know, I don't know, the top Rodgers and Mahomes are better than, and I put Brees ahead of him, are better than Brett Favre is laughable. It's freaking Brett Favre.
I wonder how ESPN's QBR compares, because they tried to come up with a different metric out of 100.
Yeah, but the QBR involves more of like clutch, and it's a lot of feet. So it would elevate like the Lamars
the
and
runners.
Like the Steve Youngs. Okay. By the way, where is Steve Young on that list?
Yeah, he was up there. He was number...
Because Steve's a badass.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. 14.
Okay.
Right behind Tony Romo and Tua.
Criminally underrated. The greatest
my quarterback.
Is Steve Young.
Well, I mean, all the greats are up there.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to go, like, to scroll through the list, because it goes down to, like, 213.
Yeah,
Frank Trepuka, by the way, bringing up the rear at 52.2.
Is that any relation to the great short shorts of Kelly Trepuka?
That's a good question.
I have no idea.
But anyway, if you look at, like... I don't know, Terry Bradshaw, for example. You know who his modern-day comp is in terms of
it's gonna be bad.
Passer rating?
Yeah.
Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. Well, and this is like, some people troll Troy Aikman a bunch, because when you look at, is Aikman on there?
Oh, of course. Let me see if I can find you.
Yeah, because Aikman's modern comps, like when you do, what is it, the pro football, it's the statistic. What's the big reference, right?
He's 81st.
Yeah.
He's sandwiched in between. So his quarterback rating is 81.6, and he's right in between Danny White and Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, like, bang. So I know a lot of people like to take shots at Troy, because, you know, Troy won 3 Super Bowls, and Troy goes on there, and he's a Hall of Famer, and there are some people, like the trolls of the world, that love to take shots at him, because when you look at his numbers, you know, they're not... When you compare him to today's numbers, like throwing for like 4,000 yards was like an unheard of thing. Now, dude, like the 20th best quarterback in the NFL is throwing for 4,000 yards. It's just it's a different ball game. It's completely different. It used to be manage the game, play action pass, you know, big moments. That's the Terry Bradshaw thing. So it's, you got to be careful comparing eras. And
yeah, it's just funny to look at the numbers. I mean, I'm not saying that we should draw any conclusions at all.
Yeah.
It's just funny to see, like, for example, Jim McMahon and Phil Sims, two pretty respected quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
You know who their modern day comp QBR is?
It'll be bad.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Yeah, it won't be good. Well, and to be fair, like, McMahon didn't have a great career. He signed won the one Super Bowl, and then he was hurt all the time. And the one I always bring up all the time is Joe Namath. Dude, Joe Namath's numbers stink. Joe Namath might be the most overrated player in the history of the NFL. And the Super Bowl that he guaranteed, they scored like 13 points. Dude, Joe Namath was just a big deal because he was in New York and he wore fur coats and he was a handsome man. Joe Namath's numbers kick rocks.
Let's see where he is here.
Way, 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 way down. Keep scrolling.
I am.
Keep scrolling.
Hey, there's Joey.
Is he better than Joe Namath? Because I'll bet you he is.
Joey's 178th with a quarterback rating of 69.4.
Mm-hmm.
That is better than Archie Manning, Jim Plunkett, Tom Flores, to name a few.
I just want...
Oh, there's Namath. Yeah, 195.
Yeah.
So Joe Namath's career QBR is 65.5.
Uh-huh.
He is right there with Rick Meyer and Jim Zorn.
He is the my first autograph ever. Jim Zorn.
The great.
Well, that and Spider-Man. I got them both at the Portland Auto Show.
Jim Zorn.
I'm not sure which one went first, but I got them on the same Frisbee that I got from the Portland Auto Show. It was a big deal. Joe Namath, for his career, I S you not, 50.1 completion percentage, 173 touchdowns, 220 interceptions. And as you mentioned, a quarterback rating of 65.5. I am sorry, Joe Namath is the most overrated player maybe in the history of sports of all time, simply because he was in New York, and I get it, he had knee injuries. He wasn't great before the knee injuries either. And so they just sit there and I don't know why, other than he won a Super Bowl in New York where he didn't do a whole lot. That was the defense in the run game, and he wore fur coats, and so we're like, Broadway Joe. Not good. And I'm guessing if Pro Football Reference, I'm guessing if we looked at his comps for his career, it's probably just, ugh. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's Rick Meyer.
Yeah. For Steve Grogan's in here. I mean, come on. The best one he's got is probably Mark Brunell and Boomer Esiason, and they have way better numbers. Joe Namath.
All right, NFL Nuggies continue next. We got a little Hard Knocks talk. And who are the top five players in the NFL? It's 3:52 on The Fan.
Vancouver 4 text line. Sue, finally, someone in the media is being honest about Broadway Joe. I could kiss you right now. Smoochies to you, too, whoever you are. By the way, Joe Namath in that Super Bowl? Yeah, 206 yards. No touchdowns. So, but has anyone heard of Matt Snell? Anyone? Yeah, he 30 carries for 121 and a tutty. And then their field goal kicker kicked 3 field goals.
We should get Joe Namath on.
And by the way, Johnny,
we should get Matt Snell on.
Johnny Unitas in that game, 11 for 24 with a pick and 110 yards.
There are 3 sportsters in history that I want to hear Big Sook interview.
Yeah.
One is Joe Namath. Another is John Wooden. And the third is Bob Knight.
Well, 2 of those ain't going to happen.
Why not?
Well, they're both dead.
Well, we can try.
That's what AI is for, right?
I would like to ask anyone that I would love to interview anyone like the super Bob Knight, John Wooden apologist. I would be interested in hearing someone defend him, and I would do it in a respectful manner. I just get tired of people whitewashing their careers.
Here's the text, Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. VancouverFord.com. Namath, first NFL QB to throw for 4,000 yards in a season, and he did it in 14 games, led the Jets to the greatest upset in Super Bowl history, played for mostly very crappy teams, not overrated. In your face.
Okay.
In your face.
He completed 50% of his passes.
Well, don't you think some of
it had like 60 more interceptions?
Some of the Namath stuff is, obviously flashy, fur coat,
yep.
Drunk guy.
Yes.
But some of it's just the Jets.
Yes.
The Jets have a giant. It's just a New York bias. Yeah. We hear far. This is why we all hate the Yankees. Well, one, the Yankees have won 8 million championships, but it's just we hear too much about the New York teams. And when you're out west or not in New York, it's too much. Like, we don't care.
Yeah.
And I think they overblow. Like the Aaron Rodgers talk right now is at a fever pitch, and it's freaking training camp. He's not even playing.
Yeah.
But it's the Jets. And so everybody thinks, because a lot of these sports media entities disseminate from back east, and they're into the Jets. They think everybody cares about the Jets. They're in their little bubble. And we get inundated with Jets crap more than any other team in the NFL, I would think.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Absolutely. And if Joe Namath had his same career, but he had played somewhere else.
100%.
And by the way, to Joe Namath apologist, his big 4,000-yard season, they went 8-5.
Ooh.
He completed 52% of his passes on his way to 4,000 yards.
Hell yeah.
He threw 26 touchdowns and 28 interceptions.
You like that? You like that?
You know, if he could have gotten to 60% of completions, he might have thrown for 5,000 yards.
With a whopping quarterback rating of 73. So stop it. And I get it was a different game at the time, but stop with the Joe Namath was a great quarterback. And He led them to a Super Bowl where their defense and running game won them a Super Bowl. He threw for 200 yards, for God's sake.
Who is the modern-day Joe Namath?
The modern-day Joe Namath. Well, it's a disservice because it's not true. He's so much better than him. It'd be like Eli Manning. But Eli Manning is way better than Joe Namath. And that's, by the way, that is not like a hot take. Eli Manning is a much, much better quarterback than Joe Namath.
So like Daniel Jones?
Nick Foles?
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe Nick Foles. You know what? Honestly, that's not bad because he has the one big kind of shining moment and the rest of it is like, and he had the one season, right? Nick Foles had the one season under Chip Kelly. That's pretty good. That would be like saying that Nick Foles is a Hall of Fame quarterback and is one of the greatest of all time. Why? Because he beat Tom Brady? It makes no sense. But there are people in the past that just for whatever reason, and you mentioned the New York media, and he was a flashy guy, he was a good looking guy, and he went on the Brady Bunch for God's sakes, and he did all those sorts of things. And he was one of the guys that made it possible for athletes, and I totally get why they do it now. But whether you're talking about boxing or when Cam Newton came into the NFL, remember when Cam said, I don't want to be an NFL quarterback, I want to be a brand, because there's money to be made. You know, and Namath was one of those guys that proved back when you didn't make a lot of money that you could use your platform to make yourself into a star. And now everyone does that. So if you want to say that he led to like an athlete revolution and kind of modernized what a professional athlete could be as far as a celebrity, sure. Impact on the game? Absolutely. But great quarterback? Like Hall of Fame, all-time quarterback, which is what we view him as? No, he's done nothing. I mean, nothing.
Do you think... Oh, damn it, I lost my train of thought. I'm watching the Nationals and Angels, and it's just too hot to handle.
Oh, no.
You can't take it.
I'm watching that one, too.
Why? Why are we watching this?
Because it's on. It's the first baseball game on, that's why.
I got volleyball.
It's just a comment, but the Joe Namath popularity thing just goes to show you how... It doesn't matter really what you do in your career. It's really more about the big moments.
Yes.
And if you have those big moments, and Joe Namath had one of the biggest in that day.
You guaranteed it.
It's just how people are going to talk about you.
Guaranteed, and the finger wag leaving. Yeah, and
that's right.
You know,
big upset.
Uh-huh. It was one of the biggest, and that moment will live in, you know, forever. And he has, and I don't blame him, but he has, what would you say? He has ridden that moment. Maybe more than any. Is there another player that has ridden a moment more than Joe Namath in that Super Bowl?
I think I always think about Willis Reed coming out of the tunnel, and he barely played and had 2 points. He was awful. It was like a big emotional lift, and everyone talks about, oh, is he going to pull a Willis Reed and come out of the tunnel? Yeah,
He didn't do anything. That's pretty good. But we don't remember Willis Reed as one of the greats of all time.
No, we don't. But that moment.
You are right. I bet you if you asked the average sports fan, they're like, oh, I bet you Willis Reed scored 30 in that game. And you're like, yeah, no.
No, he just showed up. That's all he did.
He just showed up. That's a pretty good one. That's pretty good. Because... we don't remember that. We just remember that he showed up, and we talk about this. I brought this up too. The Kobe, you know, the Mamba mentality.
Ooh.
Game seven, the title that put him over Shaq in game seven, one of the worst games like that he's ever played. It was abysmal.
It was like 6 of 24 or something like that.
Yeah, it was brutal. But they won, and so we get the Mamba mentality. You know, and Kobe, by the way, did plenty of. No one's doubting Kobe's greatness. But yeah, it's one of those weird moments where they always say this about like war too. Whoever wins the war gets to write the history book. And so when you win the Super Bowl, you win the NBA title. You know, Willis Reed walks out. Hey man, you get to write the book, and the book usually is going to be pretty complimentary of your side.
Might I nominate Doug Flutie?
Yeah, because he gets viewed as. You know, this great quarterback, when in reality, no.
O.J. Simpson?
O.J. was really good.
He was, but he's known for one thing.
He's known for...
different kind of
two things.
Two things.
Jeez. Three, if you include isotoners.
What about Buckner?
Ooh.
It's unfair, but yeah. I mean, that sticks to him.
He was a good player.
He's a really good player.
Yeah, he was a good player. And again, to everyone's point.
Buster Douglas?
Buster rode that for a while. Like he.
I mean, I don't know anything about him other than the Mike Tyson
fight. Mike Tyson, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the Buckner one, again, people's memory. Buckner fields that ground ball. The game is not over. It was a tie game already. That was a tie game when that ball went through Buckner's legs. But almost everyone remembers it as Buckner lost them that series. He didn't even lose them that game necessarily. I mean, it would have gone on. It would have gone to extra innings. And then there was a game seven after that. And we do this Miracle on Ice, right? That was not the gold medal game. That was the infamous when they beat the Russians, they had to go on what they beat, I think, Finland after that. That was the infamous Herb Brooks because they were losing to Finland. And Herb said, if you lose this game, you will regret it for the rest of your effing life. And then they go on and win.
Texbro reminds me, and it's a good one, I have to add a fourth to a list of people in throughout history that I would like to have you interview.
Yeah.
Live on the air while I just lay out and listen to you guys fight in awkward, uncomfortable nature. One is Bob Knight. One is John Wooden. One would be Joe Namath. This texture reminds me, Rudy Rediger.
Oh, my God. And we could get him on.
Well, I think at one point...
Can I talk about his financial crimes?
Didn't at one point he make the rounds in sports radio and we got that email? I think
we got Sean Astin.
We did, but I think that Rudy... I believe that your hatred for him is so fierce that we had to turn down an interview with him because it would not have gone well. Which nowadays, I'd be like, dude, put him on.
Let's do it.
But back then, I think we were scared.
I'd be all about it. I'd love to talk about what a fraud that guy is. Because
you hear him from time to time.
He's a bad person, by the way.
We got to go. Coming up next, we return to NFL Nuggies Hard Knocks, Episode 1. We talk Caleb Williams. And is Matt Eberflus the guy? 406 on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.